As the Lord was kind of preparing us for this Sunday, I find it interesting, to say the least, that how he just speaks through his people, how he speaks to us, right? And as we were preparing for this, we've never done anything like this, but you're going to hear from three of us today, so we'll see how that goes. But I just wanted to start off with a question, though, and actually pose it this way. First, because the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, commands us that we need to be strong in the Lord. You know, song. And what I wanted to talk to you guys today is about the strength of the Lord. We sang, you know, songs just about how strong God is, how he empowers us, right? We speak the name of Jesus over our families and over our lives because without him, we have nothing. We don't have power. But the key is that we need that power to be able to do what he's called us to do. So I'm going to ask you a question. How many of us, and this is going to be interactive for my part at least, how many of us are actively walking out in our calling? Raise your hand. I love it when people just chicken arm it, or, you know, alligator arm it. How many of you guys are walking out in the calling that Christ has called you to? Raise your hand. Okay? What is the calling? Amen. Exactly right. The calling that we have on our life is to go out and make disciples among all the nations. Now, we have different vehicles that God will use to do that, right? Some of you may be a CEO of a company or a high-ranking exec. Some of you may be work in a retail store. Some of you may be a stay-at-home mom. It doesn't matter. That is just the vehicle in which God gave you to fulfill that calling in which he placed on your life, which is the same for each and every one of us, which is to go out and make disciples among the nations. Okay? So what is chapter 1, and why do we know that? Well, we're going to open up to Acts chapter 1 first, really briefly. And I want to start in verse 3. It says, "To these he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, speaking of the things regarding to the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father has promised." Now this is key. Listen up here. "Which he said, with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they began asking him, saying, 'Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?' But he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the periods or times that are appointed, but the Father has, or what the Father has set up by his own authority.'" Now here's the key right here. This is for the church when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. "And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and as far as the remotest parts of the earth." And now why this is powerful is because he commanded, it says that he commanded them, "You wait in this place and don't do anything until my Spirit comes." And there's a purpose for that. What is the purpose for that? Power. But the purpose also is because we can't do it in our own strength. If we are called to go out and make disciples among the nations, guess what we have to do? I can sit there and talk, but my talking does not have eternal results. My speaking, when I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit, does. And we need to rely on that power of the Holy Spirit. These are the same men that God used to turn the world upside down. He used these guys. Do you guys know, just a side note here, do you guys know how old the disciples were? Any guesses? Come up here. Taylor, Nicholas, come up here. Just as an example, okay? Peter, Paul, probably the oldest disciples apostles that they said were late 20s, early 30s. The apostle John was in between their age, 15 to 19. Think about this. Look at these young people. The apostle John was in between these people's ages, and yet, you can go ahead and sit down. Thank you guys very much. The apostle John was in between their age, and yet the Holy Spirit used him in a mighty way to preach the gospel among the nations. And he was the only one that didn't flee. Think about that. The youngest one was the only one that didn't flee when Jesus was facing his greatest persecution. So as we go now, these are Jesus' last words before he leaves this earth. And this brings us to that empowerment of the Holy Spirit. There's a reason why this is so important. And I want you guys to just bear with me for 1 second here. Sorry, I'm not technologically inclined. The power of the Holy Spirit is the dwelling of the Holy Spirit isn't just a single transaction that takes place at salvation. I know that a lot of us probably, that is true. We do have the Holy Spirit seal us when we are saved. That is true. But the Bible shows us that the filling of the Holy Spirit is a continual process for the rest of our lives. And I'm going to prove it to you. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 31, and Ephesians 5, verse 18. It says in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 31. Now, this is after Peter and John were arrested for the healing that was done in Jesus' name. It says, threats and grant your... I'm going to back up, actually, to 29. It says, and now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant your bondservants that we may speak your word with all confidence. They're not asking to be alleviated of the problem. They're asking for boldness to continue to proclaim the word of God. When you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Guys, these are people, the apostles, the disciples, that already had the Holy Spirit. But what does it say? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is a command from the Lord. It is not, we should be filled, you might want to try to be filled. This is a command from the Lord. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's like a military command to them. But it's also a continual, if you look at it in the original language, it's continual. What it could say is, be continually filled with the Spirit of God. Continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because what happens when we sit here and we say that we need to go out and make disciples among the nations, if we're doing it on our own, we can only minister from the overflow of the Spirit in our life. We cannot minister from an empty vessel. And so many of us, I asked a question, guys, and this is going to be hard. That's okay. There were not many people that raised their hand saying that they were walking in their calling. To me, that's concerning. But it's also encouraging. Because my hope here today is to put a charge into you guys. Why are we not doing it? Why are we not doing it? As members of the kingdom of God, think of yourself as a soldier. And what is a soldier about? A soldier is about the furtherance of a kingdom. The soldier is given a charge to go and do what the master, the king, has told him to do. And again, guys, I'm not saying that we all look the same and we all do it the same way. It's not what I'm saying. But we need to, before we go into anything, We need to be asking the Holy Spirit, please, Holy Spirit, I come to you empty. Fill me again. Fill me, because my goal is about the people. The Lord says in 2 Peter 3:9, that he does not wish that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. His desire is for the lost. That needs to be our desire. It looks different with every single person because we have our sphere of influence, but that needs to be the desire. So we need to sit there and say, if I am not walking in the calling, why am I not walking in the calling? And briefly, when you look at chapter 2, now this, the Holy Spirit now has fallen upon the church. They were speaking in tongues. They recognized them as speaking the praises of God in their own language. And now, Peter, verse 14, I want you to think about this now. But Peter, taking his stand with the other 11, raised his voice and declared to them. Why is that a big statement? Why is that amazing? Say it again. 40 days before this, he denied him and cursed his name. He was a coward. After being with him for 3 years, he was with the Messiah for 3 years, and when the time came to be challenged and stand up, which Peter always said, no, Lord, I will be with you. I will stand there, puffing his chest, boisterous, loud. When the time came, he cowered away. But now, read verse 14 again. But Peter, taking his stand. And this is the awesome thing. I thought about this last night. Taking his stand, but he wasn't alone. Who was he taking his stand with? It says the other 11. Just like today, I've got my other brothers in Christ that are going to come up here, and I know the Spirit's going to move to reinforce what he's saying here. He took a stand with the other 11. And again, the other 11 who ran off except for Nicholas and Taylor. John, right? That young one. They all ran away. He says, men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, know this. There again is this confidence. Pay attention to my words, for these people are not drunk as you assume, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what has been spoken through the prophet Joel. This word from Joel was preached a minimum of 300 years prior. The last days, the birth of Jesus, and his second coming. We are in the last days now. This applies to us now. And another side note, compensation was for them. It's just for the church. Heard it was for the church. This is a birthing of the church. But it says, in the last days. Are we still in the last days today? Then this is for us. We have the same charge that they had back then. And you know what's even greater? We have the same Holy Spirit as they do. We have the same power as they did. And if we're not walking in that power, we need to take an honest assessment of ourselves and say, why am I not in the power? And our answer better be as Christians, Lord, I need you. Fill me. Use me. Because my worth comes from doing the will of the Father. He says that he will pour out his Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men dream dreams. And even on my male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy, and I will display wonders in the skies above and signs in the earth below, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you jump down, he's talking about Jesus in verse 23, and he says, this man delivered over by a predetermined plan and the foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross. You talk about boldness, he's speaking to the people that were saying, crucify him. A man who cowered away now has the boldness to call him to their face and say, this was your guy's doing. But he did it with love because his heart was for the people. Come, repent. All who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And guys, as I wrap up here, I just want to share something with you. I talk to a lot of you guys. I hear the ins and outs, and that's part of being in leadership here in the church, and I love it. I love the calling that God has given on my life, and I love you guys deeply. But my heart breaks for us if we're not walking in the calling that he's given us. Guys, it can't be just a few people around here. We have a city that desperately needs a Savior, and we are the ones that have been charged to go out and do it. And so my challenge to all of us today is, if that was you that didn't raise your hand, you may want to think about coming, getting before the throne of grace. He tells us, he ripped that veil for a reason, so that we have infinite access to the Father. Come to the throne of grace. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Watch it change your marriage. Watch the Spirit change your ministry. Watch the Spirit break chains that have been bound, that have been binding you for years and years. Watch him do it. The Lord says, ask and you shall receive. The problem is we don't ask. So let today be a day of asking. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray for my brother Tony as he comes up. Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, Lord. I praise your holy name. I thank you for brothers in Christ who love your word, who love your spirit, who love your son, and love you, God. And now I ask you, empower my brother, speak through him. Holy Spirit, have your way in him, and do mighty deeds in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Praise God. We're going to keep this theme of filling going with a... examine the terms living water. I know we've heard that a lot. Jesus speaks about that. Fountains of living water, we hear, speaking in John 4. But I want to, if everybody, we could just turn to John 7:37 here. It should be up on the screen here for you as well. But we're going to continue, this thought and this theme of being filled with the Spirit, what Jesus is teaching on living water. I think after many years of reading through the Bible, we can develop a familiarity with some of the verses and phrases, and it keeps us acquainted with its references, but it's oftentimes remain a little bit unfamiliar with its meaning. So what does it mean? What is Jesus talking about here? We read in 7:37, it says, it's Jesus on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacle, and he says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And now he said this about the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet, the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not been glorified. It should be noted that although the Spirit had not been glorified yet, the Spirit was poured out months later, as Adam had counted in Acts. We see the first pouring out in Acts 2:4 in Luke's account. So it's important for us to understand this metaphor of water given to those who are thirsty. Jesus is not referring to actual H2O. All right, he's not encouraging dehydrated people to go look for buckets. Okay? We must not understand it in the wooden sense. It's not the kind of water and that type of thirst. This water that is to flow from the hearts of those who believe is the Holy Spirit. That's what he says. He says, now he said this about the Holy Spirit, whom those who were to believe in him were to receive. The parched are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied. That's Matthew 5:6. That's the word of our King. Anybody thirsty this morning? Like a deer panting forth the water, so my soul longeth after you. I believe it is in this understanding of living water that teaches us where God is taking all of this. I think it's hard for us to understand why rivers of living water? Why not simply ponds or lakes? What's with all the runoff? Why so much extra? And this is important for us to consider. But if we need to understand this, let's look back. Jesus says something in 37 that sort of stands out. He says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said. So this should cause us to stop and go, where does the scripture say that? Where does Jesus pulling this out of? Where are we to look for the reference in the Old Testament that says, out of our heart will flow rivers of living water? There is one place in the Old Testament that refers to living water. Turn to Ezekiel 47. What we get here in John is Jesus' commentary on the prophet Ezekiel. So we're privy to that. Many of us have probably read through this in our maybe year-long readings thing. Read through Ezekiel 47. And we kind of don't know what to do with some of these things. We don't really know the reference. We don't really understand it. But if we're good Bible readers, we pick up the commentary in the New Testament. Jesus does this at times, as well as the apostles. Read with me in Ezekiel 47:1. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east from the front of the temple facing east. The water was flowing from under the right seat of the temple south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces east. And there was water, running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me there through the waters, and the waters only came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, had come up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were many, many trees on either side. And then he said to me, this water that flows toward the eastern region goes down into the valley and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, whether the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish. Ironically, he calls us fishers of men. Because these waters go there, and for they will be healed, and everything will live where the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim, and there will be places for the spreading of their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish, the great fish of the sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the banks of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be food, and their leaves will be medicine. I hope none of that slipped by you. If we're to kind of go back and just look at a quick reference, he says he brought him to the temple. We learn in 1 Corinthians 3:16, we are now the temple of a living God. That letter was written to a church in Corinth. The church is now the temple of the living God. We are to not look for buckets. We are not to look for H2O. We are to not look and expect physical temples built by man's hands. This is a spiritual idea. This is a spiritual metaphor. And if we're to understand this, this church right now, being the temple of the living God and his spirit given and poured out through like rivers of living water to those who believe in him, that is the picture. Do you see it? Do you see it? Quickly, Revelation 22, 1 through 3. The same concept is echoed again here. Revelations 22, 1, he said, "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and to the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." The healing of the nations. Do you see the similarities of what we just read in Ezekiel? The river of life, which is the Spirit, when flowing out from the church, produces trees of all kinds, whose branches provide fruit, whose branches are to provide leaves for the healing of the nations. Church, that is our role today. This is our assignment. And guess what? The salvation of the world is messy. The salvation of the world, it gets people wet. And when we leave here, when these doors open here in a minute, rivers of living water are going to flow out. Rivers of living water, church, filled with the Spirit, the living water that's flowing out from us is going to wind up in daycares and nurseries. It's going to wind up in business meetings. It's going to wind up at fire departments and police departments, in hospitals and elderly care. It's going to wind up in gyms and schools. That's where that water goes. It reaches the nations. And those who come in contact will be healed. You know, when this first began, we see an Acts in a mess. You could say, what are you doing? That you're these puddles, you're only making a mess. But the kingdom budgets for that. It starts small. And then it's ankle deep. That puddle got a little deeper. And it's got to be deep by now. And I think we have many years left. We're just getting going. But there's work that needs to be done. Church, if you thirst after living water today, man, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. God heals our neighborhoods. He heals our marriages. This living water is fruit for the grumpy neighbor that lives next door. We've got to think of this in practical sense. Man, when we walk out of here, I think many of us feel that we're carrying just a little thimble. And that thimble of water is just enough living water. And Christians all heaven when it's all done. And when you walk behind Christians, all you see is little puffs of dust wherever we go. No living water here. I got a little bit. That might be back at the church. Family, that's not how we read here. Rivers of living water. Habakkuk, knowledge of the thing says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the seas." We are in the process of God pouring out his Spirit even now. And the world can fight all it wants. But our Savior came to it. But there is a king who decrees. The rulers of this world can dig their heels in the sand. But our king, he sits on his throne and laughs. He holds the throne. He holds the scepter. And as children of God, that is an encouragement. Are you thirsty this morning? Do we thirst after righteousness? Are we tired of the depravity? Are we tired of the wickedness that we see on a daily basis? Is that you this morning? Your invitation is to come. drink,
hey, brother,
of living water.
Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Amen. Well, I'm gonna wrap this up this morning. I'm going to be brief, so I'm going to encourage the worship team to be nearby. Because I think these two brothers have really laid it out for us well. And so I just kind of want to be the guy to put a bow on this thing a little bit. And then really invite you. You know, right now I want to encourage you, don't get stuck in your head. Get your heart engaged. Because everything you're hearing today is way more about the heart than the head. Now, yeah, God gave us a brain and we think through it and everything else. But, you know, I think disciples, as much as you heard Adam talk about, you know, the age of the disciples when they first came. And by the way, Acts 4, it says that the people in Israel took note, right, of these apostles. And they didn't take note of what a great seminary they'd been from or what elite skills they had. They took note that they were unschooled, ordinary men. And the one thing that stood out is that they'd been with Jesus. Unschooled, ordinary men who'd been with Jesus. And then Tony just laid out. He said, your business place, your workplace, kids, your schools. Man, this thing wasn't supposed to just be lived out in these four walls. This thing was to explode. Take note of where Jesus ministered. He was in the synagogue a little, not a lot. Most of his ministry was out of a boat, in a village, in a job, or school. Just like us, the ordinary stuff we do. Our house, our neighborhood, our job, our school, our visit to Pick and Save or Walmart or the doctor's office or whatever else. That's where this thing gets lived out. And that's why we need power. And that's why we need life. And guys, that's what rivers of living water for the healing of the nations. Do we not have a world that needs healing? Do we not know a few people who are depressed and anxious and laden down with fear, as has been on steroids since COVID? There's need of healing. Do we not know marriages that need God's touch, as our brother said earlier? Do we not know young people who need to find their way back? Do we not know older people who need a touch? I'm going to just an abundant life in them. That's what the Lord offers this morning. I want to just declare, I'm going to read a short text in Luke. But guys, I want to listen. It is something full of life. Organic. And that's what God is reminding of us this morning. It's a matter of the heart way more than a matter. We're going to wrap up. I said this is a matter of the heart way more than a matter of just our brain. Then he spent a few verses telling us a story of a man who came to his friend at midnight because he'd had a visitor come and he needed bread to feed him. And based on the friendship of that man, he got up because the man wouldn't stop knocking at his door. He was persistent. He kept asking, and that led into, I say to you, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find, and knock, and the door will be open. And to everyone who knocks, what happens? In the kingdom, that's how it works. God honors asking, God honors seeking, and that leads, and God honors knocking from a diligent, earnest heart. And that leads us to the verses I want to close us with, verses 11 to 13. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will he give him a snake instead? Or if you do that. Verse 30, you know, even the most wicked fathers wouldn't do that. Verse 13, if you then, with our corrupt nature, if you, being evil or sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children, right? He's relating to dads who want to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who are spiritual giants somewhere? Simply to those who do what? Ask. And you know, sometimes that's the humblest thing in the world. I don't have to ask anyone for anything. We're a very proud people, right? We're very self-reliant. I don't want to have to ask anyone for anything. You need to ask. I need to ask. We need to ask for all that he gives us. It's simple. I think my brother quoted it earlier. You have to work. Everything they just laid out. Power from on high. Power to be his witnesses. Rivers of living water flowing. Dead water. No, living crisp water would flow through us. All of that. And yet here in Luke 11, Jesus says the Holy Spirit. My brother covered that earlier. Would it hurt you to say, Lord, if there's fullness I don't have yet, would you just give me that? I want more of you. How many think that's not an unreasonable thing to say to the Lord this morning? And you know, I know then some of us may say, well, there's a lot. Because if God's going to use you to bring healing to the nations, if God's going to use you and I to bless, to encourage, to strengthen, to come alongside you've received, now we can't give what we don't have. Freely you've received, now freely give. Pleasures for myself. I'm asking for the most amazing gift. And by the way, that's the context of Luke 11. The greatest gift you can get, that's the greatest thing you can ask for, because now he has the ability to just move through you and minister to others. So this isn't a selfish, so you can pour me out. You know, the Apostle Paul spoke different times in the New Testament of how he was broken bread and poured out so that he could, but he made sure where he knew where to get the bread and the wine from, so that he could be broken, that others could eat, and he could be pouring. Do you need to come so that some others can eat from you and drink from you, from the love, from the counsel, from the just the care? So this altar's open. Worship team, if you guys want to come up, and some of us will be up here just to pray with you. If you just want to pray on your own, man, go for it. I want all of you this morning to come and just come and just say, Lord, I want all of you this morning. I need the forces this morning. Your promise is you will pour out your spirit. You did it on the day of Pentecost, which, by the way, calendar-wise, was celebrated 3 weeks ago on June 8th, the day of Pentecost on the calendar. But you will continue to do that, and I need all of you so that I can be everything you want. Others are up here for your glory. I'm going to pray. I'm going to let them start singing. I and a few others are up here if you want prayer. Come now. Just come. Get with him.
Yes.
Hallelujah.